Miss Midler, I can't believe you do this all by yourself.
We're Americans. We deserve clean highways.
You pigs!
Oh, no! Bette Midler!
Now, where were we?
We were asking you to appear on Krusty's comeback special.
Okay, tell Krusty he can count me in.
It's time to take out the trash.
I'll get you for this, Midler!
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
I am very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it. Isn't it funny that that's been our intro for the last 21 episodes, whether they've made them to air or not? And we never even planned that. All of a sudden we just kept it going every week.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, it wasn't our first one. The first one we sat down beside each other, I can't even remember what our intro was. And I think it just sort of fell into a pattern of like after watching an episode of Seinfeld together.
Yeah. It's just,
but that's for another podcast.
It just works. Yeah. What episode have we got for the folks today?
Well, I'm going to tell you, pump the brakes there, Andy, before we get into the episode.
Well,
I would like to bring up a couple of little news articles that I've seen since the last episode. And one that caught my eye, quite intriguing to me, was this theory that Matt Groening is a Freemason. Have you heard anything about this?
No.
Well, apparently it's going around the internet that people think he is a Freemason because of how accurately The Simpsons has predicted a lot of the stuff of the future. That, like, you know, Trump is going to be president, or, like, there's a, when they go to New York, there's a Twin Tower, there's, like, the magazine that has the Twin Towers, and it's $9. And it's like, not, it looks like 9/11, the Twin Towers.
This sounds like the
getting taken out and stuff.
That sounds like the Paul is dead.
No,
it's,
go on.
It sounds as ludicrous to me as, like, do you remember when the whole Paul is dead rumor in the Beatles? Where halfway through the Beatles' career, people thought that because McCartney was in, like, an accident, and people thought, like, oh, he died.
Oh, yeah,
and all this sort of shit. It sounds just as ludicrous. This Matt Groening thing.
I remember, like, reading something that Ringo sort of had piped up with that. As recently as a few years ago, that it was actually Billy Shears was the name of the guy that replaced Paul McCartney.
I'd say that was just more as a little quip for the camera.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I just think it's a bit crazy, or, you know, it's quite interesting. I don't think it's true at all, but, like, the fact that they've got so many things, but, or they've been so prescient or predicted so many things.
But do you think is that just because they've been on the air for so long that we've had the time to, because their episodes stand the test of time so well, you can watch them now and really be like, oh, that is happening now, you know, like, what the people are probably not thinking of is, like, the thousand of other, like, predictions that haven't come true, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm only listing off a couple here in front of you, but, like, Trump? I know it was a joke, but, like...
Yeah, well, yeah. There's no legislating for that.
Yeah. That throws it off the scale completely.
Yeah.
I just thought it was an interesting little tidbit there. But
It seems like, if I may, that...
You're a conspiracy nut, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But it seems to me that Simpsons fans these days, like... the arguments or the controversy surrounding The Simpsons over the last year or two just seems like so, what's the word, just reaching, you know? Like really trying to make something out of nothing, like with the Apu stuff, or, you know, in my opinion, anyway.
Let's touch on the Apu stuff, because I kind of think maybe I didn't articulate what I wanted to say about that last week properly enough.
What did you say?
Like, I was giving out that, you know, people are too sensitive or whatever.
People are and too like, sensitive.
Yeah, that's true, but that's it's easy to say coming from, I guess, our background and our vantage point. Like, you know.
True.
It's very hard, I guess, to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who is a minority who feels affected by this. And I guess what annoyed me about it, or like what I think a great example of getting the point across, was, did you ever watch that show Master of None on Netflix?
I have not.
And they do, like, it's about an Indian guy, you know, Aziz Ansari. Yeah, he's the star and creator. But they do an episode about sort of Indian representation on TV. And they do one where they start off the episode and they're watching an ad on a laptop. And it's Ashton Kutcher who's doing an ad for these pop chips. Have you heard of these things? But he's doing the ad as an Indian. Like, he has a turban on and all these clothes and he's in, like, brown face. And they're like, I can't believe, and then the cooch is doing this. Oh my god! Like, you know, they're sort of saying how that sort of cultural representation, or, you know, appropriation, whatever you want to call it, that like he's taking that. It's like, why couldn't they get an Indian person to do that? And they sort of talk about
Did
you ever see Short Circuit 2? Oh, Andy, where's it?
Can't say that I have.
But the guy from Friends, he was in season one. Oh, define me, you know, Phoebe, he was in it, and he plays like an Indian guy in it. Fisher Stevens is his name. But they talk about him, like his the whole film is him doing an Indian. And they got it across in a way that was funny, and a way that was thoughtful, and a way that I remember thinking to myself, wow, like that's really well done. But it wasn't that.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to sort of be saying like, oh, bleeding heart liberals or something like that, but like, they didn't seem too sensitive about the subject, like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been some missteps along the way with representing people, especially people who aren't from that country or from that race or whatever, representing that race. But like, I really felt like that The Simpsons, of all the different, you know, shows and movies that to sort of represent, you know, people of a different race from a different country, like they seem to do it fairly, what's the word, tastefully almost. In that, even though it wasn't done by an Indian guy, it was sort of like we were saying, like who was available.
Yeah.
Would have also been as funny as the rest of the cast. Like,
that's the problem, again, I guess. Like
Fat Tony plays an Italian stereotype. Yeah. Like, you know, they even literally say, for this old Italian stereotype. Yeah. It's like, no, it's okay.
I know. It's okay.
You know, like, there's certain things, like, it's like when you think about it, like the whole race thing, I was thinking about this, like, if you were to do like a Chinese impression or an impression of a Chinese man, you know, it's really not acceptable, which actually we'll hear later on in this episode from Krusty. But like, you can't do Chinese, but if you did like, hey, I'm an Italian, like, it's literally the exact same thing, but one is okay and one isn't okay. Like, you're literally just sounding the way they sound when talking English, but some of them are okay and some of them aren't, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, especially with the Apu thing, if there was any controversy, you're 25 years too late, lads.
Yeah. All right.
And I'm not tying your opinion to mine. And this doesn't represent the podcast. This is my opinion. All right.
Might be a new co-host next season. Anyway.
Cantwell off the podcast. The headline reads.
I'm going to have to read a statement.
This will just be an edit where it'll just be me saying, well, I say, I agree wholeheartedly.
I have to go now.
My plan is
So, the last other thing I want to talk about was a little article online from buzz.ie.
Ooh.
I'll let that name linger there.
But it was,
they did a thing about...
Yes. Oh boy. Well, he's gone, folks. It's just me and you here. So, listen, before Terry comes back, excuse me. Hey, it wouldn't ring on my computer again. Can you call me back?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Folks, we're letting you behind the curtain tonight to see all of the bullshit technological difficulties we do have. Oh, excuse me. Hello there, Terry.
Andrew. Hey, Graham. How's it going?
Thanks very much, Graham, for a gentleman.
So
buzz.ie.
Yes, buzz.ie, and they did an article. I'm using air quotes. People at home can't hear me. I guess, actually, it was an article, but it was about the greatest scene in The Simpsons ever. And one of the lads actually, like, WhatsApped me in one of the groups, and he's like, what do you think of this, Terry? And the scene that they referenced, of all the scenes, was the one... when it's Homer is at the bowling alley and he tells Marge he can't come home because there's been a terrible accident and Lenny has been hurt.
Yeah.
And then she's like, not Lenny.
Yeah.
And then she tells the kids and it's like, your Uncle Lenny's been hurt. Like, not Lenny. And it's like, of all the scenes like you could have picked.
But like,
I don't even think it was that good. Like, you know, it was okay. Like, it was, you know, it was at the point in The Simpsons where, okay, you're starting to jump the shark.
Yeah,
or you're getting away. Well, you've probably passed jumping the shark, but you've come loose from the space station. You're floating out there, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
they were on the decline.
Off into deep space.
Let me ask you a question that'll put you right on the spot.
Let's go.
What would your that we'll just throw away in an intro for season 4 episode? What would be your favorite moment in Simpsons history?
Well, I got
I'll tell you
my favorite joke in all of the Simpsons is okay. It's the episode where they get the pool.
Yeah.
And it's so hot, and they hear the ding, da ling, da ling. ice cream, I'm all out of ice cream. It's true, you know.
Yeah,
and
good.
Then and it's like ding, da ling. Literally, next second, like ding, da ling. Like, chili, red hot Texas style chili, and ginger ale. Boiling hot Texas style ginger ale.
Yeah, brilliant.
Texas.
That's a good one.
That's my favorite joke ever because the setup is there. You know, they've done all the legwork, looking at the joke mechanics, and it's like, oh, all they want is an ice cream. It's like, oh, he has ice cream. It's like, I'm all out of ice cream.
Yeah, why would he be broadcasting it?
It's, yeah, the rug is completely swept under them, and then it's like, oh. They go back here. Oh, it doesn't matter. There's a second ice cream truck.
Yeah.
It's like this random man selling chili.
That's such a good joke.
The simplicity of it, but like how fitting it was. I remember thinking to myself, like I was watching it one night when I came home after the pub, and I just like it all sort of snapped into place. I was like, perfect, perfect delivery, perfect comic timing.
Yeah.
Perfect everything.
Yeah, no, it was.
What about you?
I do think that's a good pick. My one, the one that always stands out to my mind is the "You Only Move Twice." Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Scorpio.
Yeah, where it's the whole thing. It's like, we don't believe in walls here, Homer. It's like, in fact, I didn't even give you my coat. when it just goes back to him, it's just the fact that it's on backwards, and he's got this like forced smile on his face, like, huh?
Well, there's a lot of Scorpio. There's, I don't know, there's five or six things of Scorpio that he's just such a like.
Yeah.
Has such a manic energy yeah. about him, and he's like, sort of non-stop everything. You know, he's almost like,
impossible, even though he's to be funny.
But yeah, even though he's staying perfectly still, you get this idea of him like bouncing off the wall. But he, his body, his demeanor for most of his stuff is just him walking and talking. But he's just rapid fire, you know.
Yeah.
Or like, he's like, you don't like him? Get rid of him. Like, get the hell out of here, shoes.
And the fact that like Homer didn't even say, no, I don't like him. He's like, you don't like him? He just throws it.
And he's like, ever see a man say goodbye to his shoes? Like, yes, once. It's like, oh, 5 seconds ago. Like,
yeah, but I would definitely pick, I would pick those two over Buzz.ie's. Anyway,
I could give you 100 over ahead of that one. Like, I could give you 100 one
that we've covered in this season alone.
Like, that one with Krusty and the woman from the Blue Lagoon and me, the Blue Haired Goon. What? That's terrible.
And me, the Blue Haired Goon.
And then she's still talking and cuts back to him. He's like, first of all, my hair is green.
Always unprofessional. Brilliant.
Speaking of Krusty, what episode are we covering this week?
We are covering the final, would you believe it? The final episode of season 4, Krusty Gets Cancelled. And it was aired May 13th, so, well, not
close enough, like,
day. 2 days
we're off. We're behind years. This week, so.
And, yeah, in 1993, and I have a bit of factoids and trivia for you.
Hit me.
Well, the idea of the show being, was pitched by John Swartzwelder. Because they wanted to, him and the writers wanted to include a group of guest stars because they were a big fan of the Homer at Bat episode where they got all the Major League Baseball players. But it was kind of a bit of a nightmare apparently, as a lot of guests pulled out last minute and the script had to be changed several times. And that kind of makes sense now when I...
Looking at it, yeah.
Looking at the interactions with the celebrities, like... But there was a few things what I thought was funny is that they wanted to have ex-president of the United States, and they wrote to Richard Nixon, Jerry Ford, Jimmy Carter, and Ronald Reagan, but they all turned them down, and only Ronald Reagan responded with a politely worded reply. And what else I thought was interesting is that Johnny Carson had an issue because he was originally... scripted as sort of visiting the Simpsons family house and like mooching off them, but he felt that the role was too degrading, so the role
would have been funny. Like,
it would have been like, I was laughing already just at the concept of it. So instead the writers went the complete other direction and made him extremely versatile and multi-talented.
That's Bette also funny.
Yeah. Bette Midler's condition for guest starring in the show was that they promoted her anti-littering campaign. Hence that segment. And Julie Kavner refused to participate in the episode due to overuse of celebrity guest stars, even though she's credited at the end. I don't actually know who that is.
That's Marge.
Oh. Is it?
Yeah. And it says in here that like she does not speak a word in this episode. I didn't even notice that watching it.
I didn't notice that either. When I highlighted on her there, you would think the first thing that Wikipedia would say was best known as the voice of Marge Simpson.
What's it say?
She
played Grandma Simpson in...
talking about her role in sitcom Rhoda, for which she won a Primetime Emmy.
I've never seen that show.
Shut up. Wikipedia. That's mad. That's really weird that she wouldn't participate in the episode because of the celebrity stars. That's very weird.
I didn't pick up on that at all. I mean, now that you say it, yeah.
Yeah.
She's notable for her absence.
Goes to show how much the character was missed that she didn't say one word. And I never noticed. The episode itself got a Nielsen rating of 12.3, equivalent to 11.5 million viewing households, and was the highest rated show on Fox that week, beating Married with Children. And it got a lot of good reviews in a lot of, like, for example, Vanity Fair named it the 9th best episode of The Simpsons, full stop.
Ever?
Ever. And TV Guide named this episode as the 2nd greatest Simpsons episode, and they named it the 24th greatest TV episode of all time.
Across every series?
The second greatest Simpsons episode, full stop, and the 24th greatest TV episode.
24th greatest TV episode. Jeez.
Yeah. A lot of people rank it in the top or whatever like that, but there was one thing that I thought was an interesting review where, now we can talk about it later, in the Reno Gazette Journal, reputable source there.
Read it every week, mate.
The result is a boring hodgepodge of scenes with Bette Midler, Johnny Carson, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and more, where we're supposed to laugh simply because famous people are interacting with Krusty, which kind of have a point with some of those cameos.
We can talk about it when we get into it. Shall we dive into the episode proper?
Sure. Let me ask you what your couch gag was first.
It was... They ran into a trap.
Yeah.
And, all get hemmed up. But you see what the blackboard?
Blackbird?
The blackboard sitting in the dead of night.
It was, I will not charge admission to the bathroom.
It sure was.
Oh, Bart. Little puke.
You scamp.
But yes, unless there's anything else to add, I think we should crack on into the episode.
Yeah.
Live from Springfield Harbor, where the sewage meets the sand. It's the Springfield Squares.
Now, Jacqueline and I believe it's your turn.
I'll take Rainier Wolfcastle to block.
Oh, Rainier Wolfcastle, star of McBain in the upcoming film, Help! My son is a nerd.
My son returns from a fancy East Coast college, and I'm horrified to find he's a nerd.
I'm laughing already.
It's not a comedy.
Oh.
Attention, this is the Coast Guard. A 50-foot tidal wave is heading this way. All game shows off the beach.
Yeah!
Everybody up here to my square. It's safe and it's sexy. Oh, baby.
Hurry, Charlie. There is not much time.
I ain't going nowhere. I've been in this square pert near 30 seasons, and I ain't leaving now.
He's dead now.
Gabble, gabble, gabble!
Did you see that?
Yeah.
What's Gabbo?
I figure it's some guy's name. Some guy named Gabbo.
We've made a bit of a tradition in the last few episodes of starting with a clip, but those opening clips are just too good to leave out, to be honest. Especially if it's something...
Have you noticed...
Yeah?
Sorry, I was going to say, have you noticed that the last few episodes have all started with them watching TV?
Yeah, I have noticed that, and I'm a big fan of it.
Me too.
I mean, it was just so good. I mean, I was literally laughing at the very first second. Like, once you see, like, you know, live from whatever, like, I'm already in.
Springfield Harbor, where the sewage meets the sand.
But just another quality clip. I mean... The boat's going, it's like a 50-foot tidal wave is heading this way. All game shows off the beach.
where the crab coughs and spits. Like,
yeah. Quality clip.
Yeah. And we got a bit of Rainier Wolfcastle to ring in the finale. We got a bit of
Barry White.
Yes, Barry. Sir. Did you notice who else was there?
No.
Didn't notice any other celebrities?
No.
The Capital City Goofball was there.
How could I miss?
And so was Princess Jasmine.
Oh, the belly dancing one?
Yeah. And then, I don't know whoever Charlie was, but he's a great little character.
He's been in a square pert near 30 seasons, and he ain't leaving now. Also, really, like, quality joke from Homer, like, he's dead now. Like, ah!
And then we get what's really the driving force of the episode is Gabbo, Gabbo, Gabbo.
Some guy named Gabbo.
Yeah. So the next scene, Homer is staring at a newspaper that says Gabbo is coming. And I have to say, I know not in this scene, but I kept an eye on all the newspaper headlines because I thought they were great throughout this whole episode. Some really good stuff, and I love that, like, they take the time back at this stage to make jokes, like little jokes in the byline or, you know,
plus in
the newspaper.
Even with the newspaper gags, I always found if they gave it to you, like, not even the main headline, but a little sub headline. Sub headlines were almost even funnier than the other ones. Like,
oh yeah,
a completely unrelated story, or if it is somehow related, or, you know, something like that. They did it so well.
Well, so Homer is staring at the paper, and Lisa says he's not given enough information, and he's like, "I'll figure it out. I'm going to use all the power of my brain."
Classic brain visual gag.
I think this might be the first one we've come across.
Was it?
Has it? I think so. It's the mule.
With a spinning wheel.
Not quite a spinning wheel, but just a bunch of flies flying around him when he's asleep. I mean, other famous ones are monkeys doing math on a chalkboard.
Wasn't there one where it's like Mickey Mouse?
That's my personal favorite one, where it's. So then we jump around the town a little bit, and you get Smithers and Burnsy in the car. Burnsy is saying, "Look, Smithers, Garbo is coming."
Love that gag. Yeah. Like, there's something that can still be so funny about a simple mispronunciation of a name.
Yeah.
Garbo is coming.
Yes, yes sir. And I don't know why, but this always stuck with me. I always love this, where it's Reverend Lovejoy. He's like, "Everyone is saying Gabbo this and Gabbo that, but no one is saying worship this and Jericho that." And for me, I don't know why they put, like, Jericho in there.
Of all the things, just,
in the Bible, like Jericho.
Jericho, yeah.
I think that's part of the genius of this show. Like,
yeah. I never even thought of that.
Yeah. So you sort of, the Simpsons are sitting around, and we're going to get our first glimpse of Gabbo. He'll tell us what to do.
Plus, this is kind of like, it reminds you of the back in the days of 1993, where there was no internet.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like, you could literally get away with, if you had a thing on TV that just said Gabbo, 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 and nothing else, people would be genuinely interested. Like, if it was nowadays, you could just go online and figure it out in 2 minutes. But then, like, people actually would gather around their TV to, you know, to see something that they had no information on.
There was just a way to create intrigue, I guess, for lack of a better term. So, yeah, we're at the couch, and Gabbo's about to make his first appearance on TV.
Hello, I'm Gabbo.
And I'm Arthur Crandall.
That's easy for you to say. You don't have a hand up your tuchus. Oi, hey!
Oh, Gabbo, you'll say anything. And you can watch us every afternoon at 4.
That's the same time as Krusty the Clown.
Uh-oh. That cute little character could take America by storm. All he needs is a hook.
I'm a bad widow boy.
Ay, caramba!
You gotta like me, you gotta love me, 'cause I can do most anything. I can do the holly golly. I can imitate Vince Scully.
Let's take time out from this triple play to talk about Farmy Dan's pure pork sausage. Mm-mm.
I'll give out shiny dimes. I'll travel back in time.
You're gonna like him. You're gonna love him. It's the greatest show in town.
What an introduction. can I just say, I love every, and I think it's because it's so, like, hacky or whatever, but I just think it's so great. Like,
I love how Jewish Gabo is at the start.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't have, like, a hand up, yeah. You tuckish.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Gabo.
I don't know why I found that intro so funny. It's like, hello, yeah. I'm Gabo. like all the waiting, and then it's like, hello.
Yeah. And I'm Arthur Crandall. It's like, oh, Gabo, you'll say anything.
Plus, I'm a fan of him imitating Vin Scully, where he's like, let's take some time out from this triple play to talk about Farmer Dan's pure pork sausage.
Yeah. And they do a nice little bit of meta commentary where it's all he needs is a hook. Like, I'm a brave weirdo boy.
It's excuse like, me.
Ay, caramba. Like caramba, indeed.
Krusty's. What I liked, and it's not included in the clip, but like where Krusty afterwards, he's like, I've had plenty of guys come after me, and I've buried them all. And then he's like, one of them being the Special Olympics.
Yeah, it's Hobo Sea Captains, Joey Bishop, and then his assistant's like, don't forget the Special Olympics. So Krusty gets the ratings after telling us he slaughtered the Special Olympics, and he lost to Channel Ocho. What the hell is that?
Dos huevos, por favor. Ay, carísima. With the Krusty straight away, his first guy. He, I gotta steal that bit.
Yeah, like, I gotta say, I have such more of appreciation for Bumblebee Man as
I
got older. Yeah, like, he's great. Like,
something to be said.
He's
for
like Mr. Bean. But the kids are sort of sitting around, and this is something I always remember from my childhood. They're playing with Scalectrics or whatever, but they want to see what would happen if they put a train on the tracks.
Yeah,
you know. And that's something that I always thought that'd be cool to do. Like,
yeah, I always remember that scene as well, especially every time I had a Scalectrics or something like that, where you're like,
yeah,
what if I just put that one on it? Would it just melt into it?
And then Nelson says, now let's throw some crud on it. What is this kid's obsession with crud?
He's, he's got problems.
Yeah. So it's 4 o'clock. The kids put on Krusty the Clown Show.
So and you want ventriloquism, do you? All right, watch this. Hello, Alphonse. I've got a riddle for you. Why is a raven like a writing desk?
I don't know. Why is a
the way as well, like when he punches a hole, he's like, hey, the dummy can't hurt you, he's not even alive, and then he knocks on the head, the fact that like his eyes pop out afterwards,
yeah. And he's like, he's dead, and then like throws it on the ground and kicks it into the audience with the kids, like,
you're losing them, Krusty.
Yeah. And then the next one is, okay, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored. I love those little quick voices at the end.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that was was almost
Germanization may not have happened.
Or like where it has like Itchy and Scratchy Land and his picture of the Eiffel Tower. It's like resort may not match photo.
The fine print
quality.
So we sort of jump around a little bit again, and it's Quimby standing up, and it's like, I admit I used the city treasury to fund the murder of my enemies, but as Gabo would say, I'm a bad widow boy. What? Sorry, hold on, I don't remember that ever.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember Quimby admitting to murdering people.
I remember the bad widow boy.
I remember that. I couldn't remember what it was. It was like, oh, embezzling money or something. I had it in my head.
Maybe
that
it just
was.
Went
like,
over
no,
our heads when we were kids.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like talking about the newspaper again. It's like Quimby re-elected in landslides, like, two more bodies found in Springfield Harbor is the sub headline. I was like,
love those headlines.
Gold.
There was one, I can't even remember what the headline was, but it was like a comedy headline or something like that. And then, like, the subheading was just two dead. I just thought it was so funny, like, so simple. Like they're laughing at it, and what you don't see is the subheading, two dead.
So we're back. And on the Krusty the Clown Show, and he has a new cartoon because Itchy and Scratchy are gone over to the Gabo Show. So here's Eastern Europe's favorite cat and mouse team, Worker and Parasite. And this cartoon,
I know, it's creepy, isn't
it? It's at both times amazing but terrifying as well. Like,
I don't want to live in a world where those are the cartoons.
But I think it's amazing that they captured what it probably would be like
they
so
did,
well.
Yeah,
you know.
And in fact, when it cuts back to Krusty and he's just got like his face is just like dropped with the cigarette in his mouth, he's like,
"Yeah,
what the hell is that?"
So next, he finds out they've been cancelled, and he says, you think he can be proud that he never did a bad show, except for that week Ray J. Johnson was his co-host. You can call me Ray, and you can call me... Oh, that thing was funny for about 3 seconds.
The important thing is, we're like a family.
It's like, shut your hole, like, straight away. He's so abusive to where it's male. So, now we're jumping over to Krusty. And he's at old Johnny Carson's house.
First,
and this is what the opposite of what we were talking about. And I like the fact that they point out that Krusty's actually been on TV longer than Johnny Carson.
Yeah. I'm sure you saved up quite a nest egg.
Yeah, they still buy human hair down at the wig shop. And I love the animation here where Krusty and Johnny are playing tennis, and like how Krusty just cannot move.
Yeah, like his belly is
to
just
save his life.
All over the place.
Yeah, he's like, he falls over when he's trying to return it, and just like the sound that he makes when he collapses.
It's like his belly and his hair and everything is just flopping from one side,
And I like the little joke they put in here is where he asks Krusty, does he want to stay for dinner? And he's like, that's too bad, because my guests tonight will be Dr. Carl Sagan and from the San Diego Zoo, Joan Embry. And then they get the Tonight Show drum roll. Like. And then we get Krusty auditioning for Melrose Place.
Well, did I take one look at him, even like let alone let him take his shirt off? We're like, next. Like, still in full clown attire, no questions asked.
And still, it's such a like cheap little joke, but like the fact that they're kissing, the noise that his nose makes when her nose presses against
that's
it.
That's
like,
enough. Next.
And then he's at the track, and he has his last 10 books on a horse. And it's
Terry, I'm gonna
one of the lines
right there.
Uh-oh.
Because we have actually got a clip of this episode. It's that good, we had to include it. One of our favourite lines, but we'll play the clip and come back to you after this.
Next.
Come on, you stupid horse! I got my last 10 bucks on you! No, don't look at me! Run! No, don't come over here! Oh, boy.
And now it's time for another patented Gabbo crank call! Oh, I love these.
I can't believe it. He stole this bit from Krusty.
Yeah, well, Krusty stole it from Steve Allen.
Oh, everything's stolen nowadays. Why, the fax machine is nothing but a waffle iron with a phone attached.
It's ringing.
Hello, is this Krusty the Cloud?
Is this the callback for that porno film? Look, I was a little nervous that day, but I'm all man. I can assure you.
No, I represent a Japanese camera company. We'd like to pay you $2 million to do a camera commercial.
Whoa! Me reiki very much! I hope I didn't offend you. I need this bad.
Bad enough to hit yourself over the head with the phone?
Whoa, you got it! Go! Go! Ugh, blood. What the? If this is anyone but Steve Allen, you're stealing my bit!
So, the line we were talking about was when Krusty is at the track, and we use it all the time. But it's when he's giving out to the horse, and he's like, run, run, no, don't come over here, no.
I can't,
don't come to me.
I can't even think offhand in what scenarios we use that line, but we do use it all the time. No, don't come over to me.
Yeah, we used to use it all the time in the shop.
Yeah.
We're talking about problematic bits. I guess the joke is that Krusty is a problematic character when he's doing his Japanese.
So me and Reiki very much. Like, they really committed to that joke. They even said Reiki.
And then he's like, he's like, oh, I hope I didn't offend you. I need this bad.
Bad enough to hit yourself over the head with the phone. The voice is.
I think is the voice is like them doing an impression of, like, George Takei or something like
that's
that.
That's what
like,
I got to.
Yeah, you know?
The fact that after he's like, oh, blood.
It's like, is this the callback for that porno film? It's like, wow, he's really hitting hard times
straight away.
Yeah.
Quality clip.
So Bart is seeing this, and he says, "I mean, we might have talked about it beforehand, but they stole it from Steve Allen. Well, he wants to ruin Krusty's career the way, or ruin Gabbo's career the way Krusty." The way he ruined Krusty's blood. And they go back and forth, Lisa and Bart. Two wrongs don't make a right. Blah, blah, blah. And Homer chimes in with two wrongs make a right, Lisa. I don't know why. This sort of tickled me where it was like, he's reading the papers like, Rex Morgan, MD, you have the prescription for the Daily Blues. Don't know who Rex Morgan is, but I like that. Like, Homer's just in his own little world there. Just having it. Yeah. Reading the paper out on the kitchen table.
Terry, quite unprecedented here, but we have basically another clip coming right up. So I will stop you right there.
Oh, my
We
God.
Will not say it. This is our own catchphrase. We never get it right. Roll the clip.
Hey, boyo, what's so funny?
Well, it's... Nah, you wouldn't be interested. It's too lowbrow.
No, I'm quite lowbrow.
Well, somebody just wrote a body limerick on the men's room wall.
This I gotta see! All the kids in Springfield are SOBs.
Gabbo's kind of language has no place on or off TV. And that's my 2 cents. That ought to hold those SOBs. What the?
Yet again, the voice of that guy, what is his name, Raphael? Where it's just Raphael. Like, eh, you wouldn't be interested.
Hey, whoa.
No, no, I'm quite low, bro. I don't know why. That would make me laugh. This I gotta see.
Yeah.
And then a line that we use regularly in the podcast, that are the whole little SOBs.
Yeah. I do like that, where, like you're talking again, the newspaper, straight after the Kent Brockman, where he's like, what the? The next newspaper article is like, Gabbo still number one, it's like Brockman fired.
Yeah. Like straight and away, when he's like, they don't hold the SOBs, and it's like, sign Brockman in trouble. Brilliant.
But I also actually I wanted to say one of the newspaper headlines was Gabbo Fabbo Crusty Rusty, and I thought, oh, that's good.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So the two guys, Bart and Lisa, are just walking along and they see Crusty on a street corner with a sign, "We'll drop pants for food," and he's not making any money because there's a guy on the corner giving it away for free.
Old grey mare, she ain't what she used to be. Now, that gag, as a kid was funny.
Yeah, I loved that as a kid.
It doesn't hold up as well for me, that particular gag. Just again,
no.
It's the ones that have been overplayed, and that one was kind of like, you know. I don't know, when I was a kid, like, I seemed to have heard it a lot.
That character has had better moments this year. Like when Bart went to visit Grandpa. You're not my grandpa.
That was a great bit.
Yeah. So they bring Krusty back to his apartment and he's 35 years in show business and already no one remembers me. Just like, what's his name? And who's it? And you know, that guy always wore a shirt.
Ed Sullivan?
Yeah. And then we get into how basically a list of all Krusty's famous acquaintances.
So
Luke Perry is his half-brother.
Yeah.
His worthless half-brother. Big TV star on Fox. You got Elizabeth Taylor, Bette Midler, and I love the line he says, "Bette and I owned a racehorse together." Crudler.
Crudler.
Yeah. So Lisa suggests if we get all the stars together on a special Krusty, it might get his career going. My question is, if he's been cancelled for being so terrible, like, what makes you think that any network is going to put him on?
I suppose if they get all the stars, that the network will just say, all right, well, it's a chance to have all these people on.
He's a liability, is what he is.
Excuse me.
Speaking of liabilities.
Very good.
Yeah.
But one thing that I remember thinking about this episode is that when he's like, when Krusty, like, he's so lazy, he just hands them, he's like, here's my address book, go get those stars. Like, putting in no effort at all to get his career back on track.
He's going to get in shape, man. It won't be easy, but he's going to claw his way back onto me. And then it cuts to the crazy old man singers. Joke falls flat.
It does, yeah.
Unfortunately. But one that does not is the next one, where it's Bette Midler on the highway.
Picking up trash.
Yeah. I actually never picked up where it's like, we're Americans. We deserve clean highways. I never picked up on that line before, because I was too focused on, you know, her crazy antics. Like,
yeah.
Yo, bags! Like, oh no, Bette Midler!
And then where it's just like, now where were we? Like, we were asking you to appear on Krusty's comeback special. Okay. It's like, yeah. Oh, that was easy.
And again, both times it's like a beer can dropped out the window.
Yeah.
I love how they just go into like full like action movie mode. It's like, Dad, take out the trash. Like, throws the can. Like, the car starts spinning. I'll get you for this, Midler.
The fact that he knows that it's Bette Midler, like, she's obviously got a reputation on that highway for that not tolerating litter.
For me, was as a kid, and as an adult, I still think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Just that, like.
Yeah. And it was a great way for the Simpsons writers to make sure that she got her wish of showing her auntie littering, but making it funny.
Yeah.
So kudos to them.
Yeah. So then we're over to... Kudos. We're over to Shelbyville to see Hugh Hefner's Shelbyville pad. You know, him and Bart are going back and forth. I didn't really care for this.
No.
See,
I mean, it was nothing. It was just...
No.
A lot of people know about the grotto and game room, but few know about the laboratory, the biosphere, and alternative energy research center. Like, yeah, you know. Smart bunnies, Hef. I can't call you Hef.
That was the only bit.
No.
That was the only bit I liked, where it was like, smart bunnies, Hef.
Like, Hugh Hefner may as well now look like... Like, yeah. Imagine advertising. Imagine if he was the only guest and that was the big celebrity that week. Nothing.
So we're over the Moe's and there's a rock band coming in to play.
Hey, Moe!
No, you're too early. You're blowing your load too early there. They're talking to Moe, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he's like, they apparently told their agent it holds 30,000 people.
It does. We had 3,000 here last night. Now play.
No, 30,000. 30,000 here last night.
What did I say?
3,000.
Damn it.
It'd still be a pretty good night for Moe's.
Yeah.
But I like how he says the audience is getting restless and it's just Barney. We want Chilly Willy. We want Chilly Willy.
How easy it is for Bart to get them out of there, where he's just like, do you want to appear on the Christy O'Connor special? Sure, if you can get us out of this gig, like, whoever you are, strange kid.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Mo, look over there. What am I looking at? I don't see nothing. I'm going to stop looking soon.
Yeah. I was just thinking, like, at this scene, I was like, wow, Homer really has no agency in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, he comes in and he's like, can I look? And Mo was like, it'll cost you. He's like, my wallet's in the car.
Yeah. So he is so stupid. And now back to the wall.
Nice little appearance by Mo. Actually.
Yeah, I like that. Mo's great.
And it's a kind of a feeling I'm getting. This is like the first episode we've done where it's all about Krusty.
Yeah.
And the Simpsons are taking a back seat.
It's true. So much
as the years go on.
Doesn't even. I can't believe I never noticed that Marge isn't even in the episode.
But like as the years go on, like Mo gets his own episodes, and the first few are actually quite good.
Yeah.
You know, good quality. I mean, he had one with the Flamin' Mo, but that was him and Homer. But like, it kind of, for me, it's like when the side characters start to get their own episodes around them, it's hard for them to carry the episode, I think. Like, I don't think Krusty is as funny in this episode as he has been in other episodes where he's just in two scenes or three scenes, like, you know?
Yeah. It makes sense.
Just interesting.
Yeah, no, it does. Like, it makes sense that, like, some of those characters are almost best utilized for those ones where they just sort of come in and then leave.
But even, you know, they can be part of the plot, you know, or, like, they can have four or five scenes or whatever, but they don't need the whole story to revolve around them, like, you know?
If they had a better backup from the Simpsons family... Almost,
yeah, exactly.
Then, you know.
There's not, like, Bart and Lisa are only getting roped into this now, like, and you're sort of more than halfway through the episode.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree.
So we're over at Miss Elizabeth Taylor's and her agent.
Love this guy. Go ahead. Miss Taylor, a couple of grade school kids wanted you to be on Krusty's special. I told them to buzz off. Good.
Right, like if she's just like polishing her like awards.
That was actually a great joke. Where it's just like, after all that, it's like, I told him to buzz off. Good.
So they're back at Krusty's and they get in the, they're going to tell Krusty all the good news. And then you see a giant, obese Krusty. Whoa.
I thought I'd get in the shape, so I've been drinking nothing but milkshakes.
You mean those diet milkshakes?
Uh-oh.
And Homer, we're over at the Simpsons house now. Homer is helping Krusty stay with them so he can sleep on the sofa. It falls right out. Like tearing at it like, oh wait, that was the old sofa.
Now, is Marge even in this scene in the background?
Like, I don't know. She is in a scene.
Is she?
Coming up. Yeah, she's in a scene coming up.
Because I was thinking, like, at this point, it'd be weird that if it's just, like, Homer and the Simpsons and Krusty and Homer is ripping out the couch and, like, Marge isn't there.
I don't know if she is actually there.
Yeah.
Or just, but she is in a scene with Krusty coming up.
All right.
So, they're working on the pie gag, trying to get Krusty his aim back. He says he won't catch it, and Bart says, "Oh, you just got to keep working on it," and hands him a really hot pie. And because it's so hot, he instinctively just throws it, and it hits Homer in the face.
It'll scald him.
Yeah. What? It's like, delicious. And then the next scene is a bit of a weird one, where it's Homer and Krusty topless boxing in the living room.
And they're like reacting to the news on TV.
Yeah, but Homer, like, they're not even wearing headgear. Homer's just like laying into him the first like unprotected round, three or four to the face. Chris's like, why am I even bothering? They turn on Gabbo and he starts laying into Homer, and then Maggie turns on the news like, pork prices rose in early trading today.
I thought that was a funny little segment to get Homer mad. Pork prices rose.
I like how it was the guy as well, the like backup newsreader for Channel 6.
Yeah.
Like the guy who always does stuff when Kent Brockman's not around. And it tracks since that Brockman was fired.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. I didn't even think of that.
That he would be on TV, yeah.
Of course.
So we're at the Gulp and Blow. Krusty is trying to get Mel to come back.
You gotta come back, Mel. We're a team.
No, Krusty. You always treated me rather shabbily. On our last show, you poured liquid nitrogen down my pants and cracked my buttocks with a hammer.
Ah, come on. You wanna waste your life hanging out with a bunch of dorky teenagers? Here's your taco, mister. I'm not gonna do the whole thing.
Yeah. I would like this when he says, Mr. Johansson treats me with dignity. My favorite was like, is this clown bothering you, Mel? That's all right, Mr. Johansson. Right, I'll handle it.
And then,
I like just the look of Mr. Johansson as well. Yeah. Like, you know, the clip-on tie and the brown mustache.
Is this clown bothering you, Mel? Yeah, it's all right, Mr. Johansson. I'll handle it.
So we're jumping over to the rehearsal for the balloon bit with Krusty, and he makes a horsey. And what are you making, Sideshow Luke Perry?
A 19th century carousel. Upstage me, will you?
I just think, like, the image of the 19th century carousel, the way it's, like, moving, working parts, everything, like...
I don't know what it is, but like, even though it's animation, I'm very impressed with that balloon carousel that the animators even drew. Yeah. Very well done.
I like how as well as, like, Krusty's throwing Luke Perry out, and he's like, for mom's sake!
Yeah.
And, he sort of thinks, oh, I think of something, And it's like him shooting him out of a cannon into a brick wall.
Dislocating his face, basically.
So we're on the street, and you're seeing everybody going into the taping. One side of the street, everybody's going into the Krusty's comeback special. The other side is the Gabbo show, and nobody is there. And Gabbo says, I don't like it. He's got Johnny Cass and Bette Midler and Hugh Hefner. What do we got?
Ray J. Johnson.
Oi, 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 oi.
I love how Jewish. Gabbo. I never noticed how Jewish Gabbo was.
Yeah. Just even the way he's like that. And Hugh Hefner.
I always remember this next line as well. Like, especially when I hear the song, but where he's like,
yeah.
How about what I get? You gotta get and put it in you. How about just what I'd like is I'd like to hug and kiss you. I literally think of that every time I hear that song.
What I like about it is like, would you mind changing the lyrics? Hey, forget you, clown.
But they're so quick to turn. Anyway.
So we get Krusty singing to start off. I really like this, where it's you know, the lights up, you know, in neon Krusty. Yeah. But
great angle of the camera or something like that.
Like, I think the whole like him sitting there with his tux and the, you know, the bow tie is untied.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be Frank Sinatra, you know, because he sang "Sending the Clowns."
Yeah,
and it just really gives off that sort of appeal. Yeah. And I like when at the end, well, first of all, I love when like Mel appears, like they're all clad in. It's like, I that, love you, Krusty.
That always makes me laugh. It's the Mel coming in, and it's the. I don't know why. I like that. Sometimes if a song is sung so well, it's just funny.
Yeah, I like that Krusty gives him like the little, you know, pretend punch to the chin, like, you know,
all
like,
for show.
Yeah, come here, you. Like. So first up, it's Luke Perry, and he fires him out of a cannon, but he misses the net and goes through.
The window.
What is it? He goes through a sand. He goes through the window. Goes through a sandpaper factory. Yeah. Goes through the quickie mart where Apu is stacking acid 50% off. And I love the little motion. Like, first of all, he goes through the acid. He's like, my face, my valuable face. Yeah. And then Apu is like holding one jar at the top and just like throws it on the ground. And then he lands in a pillow factory. Which gets demolished, yeah.
Great joke.
I was going to say, it gets demolitioned.
I love the sound of the glass smashing and all the windows that he went through as well. I don't know why, I just remember that being very satisfying.
And then you get the Chili Peppers dancing around their underwear to their song, Give It Away, and he's like, that is so degrading.
dancing around in their underwear. 30 seconds to your little stinker sketch.
Get me a big ol' lolly. you know, we're just gonna fire through all these, sort of celebrity appearances. So but got, like the Johnny Carson one.
Yeah, Johnny Carson holding really, a Buick Skylark over his head.
He's like, "Hi-o, that's amazing." He's like, "What about this?" Like, he starts singing the opera, like
just hoisting the car up from hand
while
to
he's
hand.
Throwing it from hand to hand, like,
You got,
and then you get, I don't know, like Hef is playing the glass, you know.
That's basically Hefner's bit, and then Bette Midler is singing with him, which is like she sings well, like, and he's like, I can fly higher than an eagle. He's just the worst singer.
I like that he appropriates the words for himself though, like,
How do you
mean? In a way, like, the lyrics are like, you can fly higher than an eagle. And he's like, I can fly higher than... And he's like, because I am the wind beneath your wings. And she's saying, you are the wind beneath my wings. Yeah. And then they talk about how Krusty deserves an Emmy.
Forget and it. The Academy hates me. Don't know why. Bunch of old know-nothing dinosaurs with no entertainment to forbid him in the hey. And it's like the most like
Cut to Moe's for the after party.
I hope you remember.
Roaring success.
I hope you remember to save your money this time. It's like, here's that ruby studded clown nose you ordered, Krusty. Straight away.
And then your old pal, the Chili Peppers, show up.
Dave Mo!
Apparently that was, the other lads were recording in the studio and Flea wasn't in the studio and he just like screamed it from outside the door.
Oh, really?
And they picked it up and they kept it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they liked it so much, yeah.
It does sound like it's a little bit like away from a microphone.
It's different. Yeah. So, Mo says they can't come here dressed like that in their underwear. To which we see Dr. Hibbert and Chief Wiggum sitting in their underwear at the bar.
Get with the times, Mo.
Yeah, I say, if it feels good, do it.
All right. The whole don't snap my undies is a line that gets used frequently.
I love it. I love it. Don't snap my undies.
I'm such a fan of the next line. He's like, I don't know how to thank you, kids. He's like, that's all right, Krusty. We're getting 50% of the t-shirt sales. What? That's the sweetest plum.
And then Bart raised a toast to Krusty, the greatest entertainer in the world. Except for maybe that guy.
Johnny Carson dancing with two old people playing checkers on his head.
He's playing the accordion.
Yeah,
as well.
I'm playing the accordion
at the same time. What a bizarre end to a season.
I know, right?
But and Grandpa's asking, "Is this the bus to the Civic Center?"
Thus ending the episode.
Yeah.
Well, Terry.
Well, I don't know about you, but I got a lot to talk about with this episode.
You and me both, buddy. Shall we get into ratings?
Ratings.
How do you find the defendant?
So, can I tell you what I thought of it first?
Please.
You know what? I almost hadn't even made my mind up, even though I've been watching it for 25 years. Even before we started recording this episode. I'm leaning in a more positive sense. Like there was a good few laugh out loud moments. The characters and celebrities and things like that, I thought, didn't really add any much comedy except for maybe that Bette Midler scene. But I do think that it was sort of, I don't know, oversaturated with guest stars, and like, it was kind of like a bit of an odd episode, but an episode that I definitely enjoyed. It would be in my top half of, you know, episodes of the season. But I suppose if I was to give it a rating, I would give it a 7.5 out of 10.
Well, I sort of agree with you in a lot of what you're saying, in that I remember the guest appearances being funnier, or you know, a lot more memorable. Like the Bette Midler one is one of my favorite things, but I found myself not really laughing too much watching it.
Yeah,
more when we started talking about it.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, it's, you know, like Gabbo's Jewishness is very funny, but when I was sitting there looking at him, I was like, oh, it's just Gabbo, and he's, you know, Jewish. It's more when we get a chance to talk about it, how funny it is.
Yeah.
Is
I find that with a lot of episodes, actually.
Yeah, but at least, I mean, there wasn't there wasn't too many laugh out loud moments.
Yeah. You still with us, buddy? Sorry. Oh boy. So you were saying?
It wasn't too many laugh out loud moments for you. A lot of more would be like, oh, that's funny, or I like that, you know.
Yeah.
I do think that it is like that review here from the New Reno Gazette we were talking about. It just seems a bit cluttered or stuffed.
Yeah.
These people, they're just in there to grab ratings, just like Krusty.
Yeah.
Can't, you know, comeback special. Maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point of it all, huh?
Maybe they're poking fun of themselves.
I don't think so. Because if you're saying they did it because they enjoyed, like, if you compare it to Homer at the Bat, that is a way more effective way of using a lot of guest stars. You know, I way more organic.
And the baseball, like, stars would be more inclined just to do what they're asked. And not have issue with how they're portrayed or like anything like that, and then leading to rewrites and last minute changes.
Yeah.
And you can sort of really tell in the episode.
It's choppy.
They had to do that. Yeah.
I would give it.
Yes.
See, I would have it probably in the lower half of the season for me. And I would give it 7.7. Are you okay, buddy?
Well, Terry, please, I need help. Folks, this is not part of the act. I thought for a second that you... I don't think you've given an episode a lower rating than me in this entire season.
Saving it for the last, man.
7.7 is fair.
That was my plan all along.
Who would your MVP be?
For me, it's Gabbo.
Yeah. I'd say Gabbo too.
Yeah.
You're gonna Gabbo like once. Him. Yeah.
Untrue.
There's nothing else but the song alone.
You're gonna like him. So shall we get into our post-mortem, I guess, in terms of news we have.
Yes, so, and this is normally the part where we say the next episode airs, and we will obviously be doing the next episode. We have to do the season 4 recap, where we go through...
Excuse me, and I just wanted to... Let me stop you right there, Andy. I think before we get into the...
Is this how it feels? So this is what it's like when doves cry.
Before we do our season 4 recap, we're going to have to do our two lost episodes of Treehouse of Horror 4.
Oh yes, of course.
And so it has come to this, a Simpsons clip show.
For the record, we have recorded 21 we have
recorded 22. Discussed
21 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a few of them didn't make it to air for some technical difficulties, so we're going to go back. And what, do we cover them both in the one?
Yeah, we could do that.
I think so.
We could do that.
Well, we can discuss this off air.
We could play that.
But it'll be a while because we'll have to take about a 6-week-ish hiatus, unfortunately, because I'm doing an online course for work that'll require me to do it like twice a week, which is like 3 hours, and there's a lot that goes in behind the scenes as far as like prepping and editing and things like that, so I have to sort of park it just until I get this course done and get my certified diploma, I think.
So send your hate tweets to @AndyCantwell.
And while you're there, give us a follow on Twitter. I've only got 59 followers. The podcast on Twitter nearly has as much followers.
You'll be losing followers.
So we will be back in a few weeks to do that, and then we'll have a season 4 recap where we talk about our favorite bits, favorite special guests, special, you know, all that sort of stuff. We'll talk about that in the next episode.
All that good stuff.
We'll probably do our top five and worst five, things like that. Where can they find us, Terry?
Yeah. Well, you can find us over on Facebook at Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. We normally have pictures and videos and clips and stuff going up there. So if you're over there, give us a like, or you can write us a message. Anything like that. Yeah, good to see the views. Being seen. It's late.
You can also find us on Twitter at Put It in H.
Where else podcast. Can they find us, Andy?
You can find us on Stitcher, Andy? Any Android podcast app, iTunes. You can leave us a rating or a review on iTunes. You know what to do. We don't have to tell you at this stage. Terry. Oh boy, he's gone again. Boy, I tell you, this episode is fraught with technical issues. You see what we go through here? It seems like it's just a happy-go-lucky hour. What you don't see is the audio getting cut out. You don't see the syncing of it. Let me tell you, while Terry's not here. Hello there, Terry.
I said, where else can they find us, Andy?
They can find us... How much did you hear? They can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Android, Stitcher, iTunes. Leave us a review. 5 stars.
Where can they find us on Twitter, man? Why did you give them the name?
I gave them the name. It's our Put It in H podcast. Please feel free to give us a follow, a like, a retweet, anything. And
you can also
email
us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. Always looking to hear some questions, feedback, anything.
Get in touch.
Good
in
or
fact,
bad.
We're demanding that you get in touch.
Yeah, get involved.
Let's create a community
here. Season 5.
That is...
All you Put It Natures out there.
All you H-bombs out there. Show your love. It's a working title. It's late. So, for a couple of weeks anyway, that is it. But we do hope that you'll stick with us. And you know what? Why not go back and listen to some previous episodes while you're waiting? Anyway, thank you, Terry, as always.
Thank you, Andy.
And
see you in 6 weeks.
Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Live from Springfield, the entertainment capital of this state, the Krusty Comeback Special.
Send in the clowns. Those Daffy, Laffy clowns. Send in those soulful and doleful schmaltz by the bowlful clowns. Send in the clowns.
They're already here.
I love you, Krusty.
Quiet.